Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at a book called This Is My Doctrine, The Development of Mormon Theology. It was written by a Brigham Young University professor by the name of Charles R. Harrell, and it came out in 2011. It's not a new book, but I think there's something that we can learn from this book, and we explained some of our reasons in yesterday's show. But in yesterday's show, we cited a reviewer, David Taman, who writes for the Improvement Era blog, and on April 30th, 2011, he did a review of this book, and he mentioned how the book is going to have a mixed reception. And we agree with that, because some are going to see it, as David Taman says, as being heretical, because Harrell doesn't draw the same conclusions regarding some of the passages that Mormon leaders have used as proof text to support the Mormon faith. But there was another review that we think is worth noting, and that was by a guy by the name of Matthew Kern on the rationalfaiths.com website, and this is what he had to say about Harrell's book.
Harrell obviously knows that reading the core chapters of the book are not the most faith-promoting. This is especially true if read with the intention of looking for a beautiful picture of how Mormonism's doctrine, God's people's doctrine, has been the same through all times. At times, it may seem that the book is refuting LDS doctrines. I myself felt this way after reading section after section on doctrines that do not correlate well with what the current understood doctrines are. I see now that I still wanted to hold on to at least a portion of the clarity found in universal doctrines I grew up with. In the preface and the epilogue, he makes a good attempt to explain his purpose due to the critical nature of the text contained in the book. He is very direct in saying that, although he is an active LDS man, the purpose of the book is, quote, meant to be neither apologetic nor polemic, end quote.
Now, putting that last sentence aside, because I don't really think it's all that relevant, one thing that Mr. Kern says that I think is important, when he talks about, I see now that I still wanted to hold on to at least a portion of the clarity found in universal doctrines I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
What is he referring to, folks? I think what he's saying here is he wanted to hold on to what the leaders have told him these verses mean. Yet Harrell says, no, that's not really what these verses mean. So I can understand the Mormon being torn. Do I go where truth seems to be pointing me, or do I hold on to those traditional understandings that perhaps make me more complacent and satisfied?
We can understand this is not a very comfortable time for a Latter-day Saint who would read a book like this and have the rug taken out from under him, so to speak, because so many Latter-day Saints have been told for many, many years, from primary all the way through adulthood, what these verses mean, and now he's showing good reasons why that's not what those verses actually mean. So I can see the uncomfortable nature of somebody like a Matthew Kern who might not really be rejoicing reading through what this man has to say.
But you know what? I will give Charles Harrell at least credit for one thing. He makes a position and he names names. And I think sometimes that's necessary, because here's one thing that irritated me about Stephen E. Robinson's book, Believing Christ. When you read that book, he mentions specifically on page 45, when speaking to his class on a particular Mormon doctrine, he obviously disagrees with what has been traditionally taught, but he doesn't name names. Why don't you read that portion so our listeners understand what I'm talking about?
But are we not required then to keep the commandments? The answer is yes and no. When I ask my students if it is necessary to keep the commandments to enter into the celestial kingdom, they all answer with absolute certainty that it is. They know that this is true because they have heard church leaders and teachers tell them so all of their lives.
That's the part that stood out for me. They know that this is true because they have heard church leaders and teachers tell them so all of their lives. Now, in the book, Robinson shows the inconsistency of such thinking because, let's be honest, nobody can keep all the commandments.
Right.
And I think the average person, even a Latter-day Saint, knows that, even though when you ask them what's required to get in the celestial kingdom, they'll say you have to keep the commandments. And when you ask how many, they'll tell you all of them. Robinson at least understands that that's an impossibility, but he recognizes that the reason why these students believe that is because, as he says, this is what they've heard from church leaders and teachers. Who are the church leaders? The apostles and prophets who are supposed to have the authority from God to expound on these doctrines.
Now, Bill, this book, Believing Christ, came out in 1992, and there are some things in there that we happen to hear on the streets all the time. Like, for instance, you do your best and Jesus does the rest. This is a BYU professor who really doesn't have any more clout than somebody like Charles Harrell. And yet, it's being quoted as if it were somehow scriptural doctrine, even though that idea goes against so much of the unique LDS scripture.
Now, maybe I'm being a little too hard on Robinson, because, as I said, one of my complaints is he doesn't name names. He just throws this out there, and we have to try and figure out what is he referring to. Most Latter-day Saints probably wouldn't know. But Robinson lived during a time period when you did not vocally disagree with the leadership. This book was written in 1992. If you know anything about Mormon history, you'll know that in the next year, 1993, will be what is known in Mormon circles as the Purge, where some Mormon scholars were excommunicated from the church because they were saying things that they were not supposed to be saying at that particular time. Things have changed over the years, and the Mormon Church, for some reason now, tends to turn a blind eye to a lot of the criticism, even of the leadership, from some of the membership, even BYU professors, because this book is an excellent case in point. Harrell is a BYU professor. I can't imagine a Stephen Robinson saying the things that Harrell says in 2011. I just can't imagine Robinson saying those things in 1992.
No.
That would have gotten him in a lot of trouble. But as I mentioned, things have changed a bit since then, and there is a little bit more freedom for academics to be more outspoken on some of these issues. The church just doesn't seem to have a reason anymore to clamp down on this, unless it's probably very embarrassing to the leadership of the church. Then I think the church would get involved. But I do give Harrell credit because he does mention specifically these biblical passages. He does mention specifically how they've been misused, and he does at times name names. And I give him credit for that. And I think Mormons need to take notice of that.
Yesterday, we had mentioned that while we're going to be going through this book, and we're going to agree with a lot of what he has to say, we don't agree with everything. And that would be true. What he writes on page one, this is what he says regarding the church not publishing an official exposition of Mormon doctrines. Listen to what he says. He said, "The church has never published an official exposition of Mormon doctrines. Rather than have a static doctrinal creed, Latter-day Saints are to let the revelation speak for themselves on doctrinal matters while continuing to remain open to further light and knowledge from the Lord."
Okay, we all know that Mormonism teaches latter-day revelation or modern-day revelation, but there are some things that you just can't expect to change. For instance, when Mormon leaders speak about the person of God, when they describe their God, you would think that those attributes would never change. They can't change consistently, but yet they do. That would be a valid criticism on our part to point out. Now, when he says there's not an official exposition of Mormon doctrines, where I would disagree on that is, even though he's correct, as far as the Mormon Church has never really put out a book that deals specifically with doctrinal issues that is sanctioned by the church. And what I mean by that is When Bruce McConkie, a Mormon apostle, came out with the book Mormon Doctrine back in the 1950s, he was a 70 in the church. It did not have an official stamp of approval by the leadership in the church or the first presidency, even though a lot of the things that McConkie said in that book in 1958 and in his later version, 1966, I think were very consistent with a lot of the teachings that Mormons believed at the time.
But Bill, even if they don't have a book like Mormon Doctrine, why shouldn't it have a book like that? Because there are a lot of disagreements within Latter-day Saints, and here we have God's representatives living in Salt Lake City who have a direct connection with God. Why can't they solve the problem, for instance, as to where the Book of Mormon lands are? Why don't they have an official stance as to whether that was in North America, Central America? Where did it happen? But you have to talk to different Mormons, and you get different opinions, and the church doesn't help us a lot with those kinds of issues.
It could be on that particular topic, the church doesn't see that as being all that important. To them, it's just, well, it happened. Where exactly? Who knows? But here's the point I want to make, Eric. When he says that they haven't published an official exposition of Mormon doctrines, actually it has. The church has done that. They just do it in different areas. We know where to look in order to find out what Mormons are supposed to believe. For instance, if you were to go to the church website, which is the newsroom website, it has a statement on there on what is considered official. And I think Christians need to understand that there are areas that we can go to and cite that a Mormon should respect and a Mormon should believe, even though we recognize that not all Mormons will believe everything that the church wants them to believe.
This is what it says on the website. In addition, information on official church websites is reliable and consistent with the doctrines and policies of the church, capital C Church. All materials on newsroom and other church websites are carefully reviewed and approved before they are posted. And it goes on and says, in a complimentary way, newsroom, LDS.org, and other church websites provide an official voice from the church.
Now, that's an important statement because it's basically telling us that there is a place we can go to get what Mormon leaders consider to be true doctrines. You can't get any more official than this statement. And so when he says that they really don't have anything like that, no, they don't in a book. And the best thing in recent years was a book called LDS Beliefs, a Doctrinal Reference. Personally, I thought this book was worthless because it's containing essays by BYU professors who have no authority to speak authoritatively on a lot of these doctrines, especially if they conflict with what Mormon leaders are saying.
And that's my point. Why hasn't the Mormon church leadership written a book like this?
Yeah, the days of Articles of Faith by Talmage and Jesus the Christ, those were years ago, but they were sanctioned by the first presidency. So I think that those would still be some good areas to go to, even though it makes you wonder how many modern Latter-day Saints have ever read those books seriously.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.